everyone, welcome to Pod Bangtan, where we watch Run BTS and talk about it after. This week, we are watching episode 6 within two parts, parts 1 and 2. So, Katie, tell us, where is this episode in the timeline of the BTS universe?
So, as we mentioned in our last episode, all of these early Run BTS episodes seem like they were basically filmed at around the same time. So they all have the same hair that they had in episodes 1, 2, 4, and 5. So I'm going to assume this was June, July 2015 with the rest of this Run BTS content.
Yeah, and having just dyed my hair myself, not myself, but gone and done and dyed my hair, like there's no way Jimin's bright red hair color would consistently be maintained if it wasn't recorded very shortly after one another.
Yeah, that's really true. The color is very vibrant at this point.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so that's where we're at in terms of the filming timeline. In terms of like the actual release and BTS timeline, this episode, so as you mentioned, it's in two parts. So part one came out on October 13th and part two came out on October 20th. And so between episodes 5 and 6, we had Jimin's birthday. So that is always a great holiday. Also, probably the holiday we want to plan our trip to Korea around.
Yup, Jimin.
Jimin Day. And then between the airing of parts 1 and 2 of episode 6, we have what I think was the first ever Eat Jin episode.
And those are very rare nowadays.
Yeah, I think his diet is more restricted now.
Plus, he used to do more Eugene episodes when he was on tour as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, I think we're so used to the traditional Run BTS episodes that this does feel a bit weird. Because I think if you put this Run BTS episode in the current context out of how they run episodes now, you would definitely have more of at least an intro frame where they all say hi and this is what they're doing this episode, and then you'll have like a brief, albeit still very quick, explanation of what they're doing, and then we'll have a scene that goes straight into it. Whereas this one, we just went straight into this random confession booth situation.
Yeah, so it's like this role play where Jimin and Suga are both acting as priests and the other members are confessing to them. And I think another thing that we are used to in like the modern day of Run BTS is some amazing translating work. And I think one of the things that makes this episode kind of tricky to enjoy is that not everything is translated. So there are like these story cards that pop up about each of the members, and they provide a little bit of explanation of what's going on, and those aren't translated. So I was trying to like Google Translate those to understand the background, and then we all know that Google Translate hates Korean. So it's like, it doesn't work very well. Yeah, so I think that is another thing that makes this episode a little bit harder to enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. But I was going to say, it does seem a bit random with the whole Catholic church in a village situation. But in a lot of K-pop variety show content, actually, like, it's a very popular game they tend to play on variety shows.
Okay.
And I think maybe coming back to our earlier episodes discussing, you know, this is Run BTS's own variety show in a way.
Yeah.
Variety / reality. Maybe my theory is they're playing the game, but using a whole episode to play the game.
Yeah.
Because on Weekly Idol, for example, not every episode, but depending on which K-pop group goes on, I've seen one, for example, with NCT, and it's a time where they use it to air out like grievances, because they all like live together, right? K-pop group, well, within the 10-year contract, are in dorms and have roommates and etc. And there's always like, you know, when you live with someone, there's like little things that bug you. I don't know if it's true in this scenario as well, but the other thing is there's the whole like Hyung and like Dosang relationship, right? So if you're like a younger member of the group and you live with older members, maybe you use the kind of public and the TV show as a way to kind of ingest, raise something that might you might have an issue with, which you might not do under the context without cameras because you're like, well, they're my young, I'm not going to say anything. I don't know if this is the case. I mean, obviously the stuff they bring up, it's never like, I hate you hate me kind of thing. Like it's not, it's more like, TMI stuff. Like I could see, yeah, I think that's the other thing. It's like people like to play TMI games now, and it's, I feel like it's a bit like that. And you can see it in some of the things that BTS says in this episode where you're like, oh, okay, haha, kind of thing. It's not like, I hate them because they're so mean to me and they bully me or anything. Do you know what I mean? It's not really those kinds of grievances that gets aired out.
No, it's still like variety show content. And I think like knowing that it's a common occurring skit on a variety show, I guess, helps put it in context. And also if you think that like BTS filmed all five of these episodes probably in like one go, they didn't really, it's not like they were testing out different formats to see what worked yet. This was like they kind of had this bank of like five ideas of things that they could film in one go, and then they're releasing them as episodes. So if this is like a common segment on variety shows, it makes sense that in the very beginning of their own variety show, they would want to try it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it, I mean, it's still a bit random compared to some of their other episodes, because obviously over time, I think they're more packaged and more deliberate. But then is it more random than them putting flat pack IKEA furniture together?
I mean, and I also like, I think this is a very early prelude to some of the like mafia games that we start to see them play, where they do get really into these characters they create.
Yeah, definitely. And we also see them like, yeah, I think act for the first time, really. Because, yeah, I think they have definitely gotten better over the years. I mean, V has yet to star in Hwarang in this episode. But I think over time, I think especially with the more recent episodes, you can see them play acting a lot more and getting into it a lot more. I mean, it's a bit like watching SNL skits where they laugh with their jokes because it's so funny. But I think over time they've gotten better at it. Plus, we know Jin has like a degree in performing arts, doesn't he? Or an acting degree or something like that.
That's true.
So if anybody was going to be good at it, it would be Jin. And I find that Suga, it doesn't matter whether he plays a character or not, he's just hilarious as himself.
He's funny, man.
Like every time he MCs anything, like he's just funny on its own. I don't know what it is. And I think the other thing I've noticed is like Jungkook is way shyer at the in these. Is shyer a word?
Yeah, it's
More shy?
true. He's shy, but also like awkward.
Yeah, like he's definitely changed, like grown. Like, you know how everyone's like, oh, we've grown up with JK? Like, it kind of does feel like that. Because he's not anywhere near as shy now, even though even he himself says he's not as shy anymore than what he used to be. Because he, if you look at the actual footage in each episode, and this one wasn't very long, like, Jungkook's part was so small. Like, he was barely in it. Like, most of the members at least made an appearance twice. But he only had a very small part and he barely spoke in his section. So.
I don't think that he is, I mean, he's still like at a press conference, at an awards show, he's gonna try to stand in the back and not say anything.
Yeah,
Like, I
it's
think in a
very
lot of
cute.
ways, he doesn't want to be on camera unless he's like singing and performing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's very MBTI right there.
And the other thing I noticed is, and we'll go more into details here in a bit, but like So, as part of V's story, he had, and he said it was his idea that his character would have a runny nose. And so he had this like grotesque makeup to give him like this obnoxious runny nose. And when they call him out on it at the end, he's like, "Oh yeah, I thought it would be a funny concept."
Well, you know what? You say this because I almost know exactly what it's like from a cartoon character.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's called. I've seen a cartoon character. You know? Yeah. Anyway, I grew up
With a runny nose
watching.
like this.
Yeah. And I think it's. You can tell it's like. It's not meant to look like real runny nose, but it looks like him pretending to be a cartoon character with a runny nose.
Okay, so that's interesting. The thing that I had picked up on was, and as you said, V hadn't been in Hwarang yet, so he doesn't have like acting experience. But I really appreciate his like commitment to defining a concept. And in a recent BTS bomb about one of their end of year performances from last year, they followed him around, and even still today, 6 years later, he's like, "Okay, what's the concept? Like, I think the concept for this is like, the year is like full of different presents, and like he's like trying to set the story for himself so that he's able to like act out this concept that he's created." I don't know. I just think that's a really like interesting insight into V's brain.
Yeah, he's very, yeah. I mean, he likes to, you know how there's people who likes to dress up, for Halloween, they'd go all out and like every time, like even if you get, well, people are notoriously good at lying when you play mafia with them. I feel like I don't know if he did it for Hwarang, but he must be one of those, what's that technique called where you like portray the character in your acting?
Method actors?
Method. I feel like he'd go method with his acting, don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
But yeah, I think because they watch a lot of, like in Korea, they watch a lot of webtoons, right? So I feel like in my mind, his runny nose thing is definitely from like a cartoon runny nose, like the characteristic white line with like a ball at the end. Yeah, it didn't really pan out for him, but to be honest, the other thing I noticed with Run BTS episodes over time is that they're getting better at being entertaining. And I think at least I admire him for adding that effort. Because if they get really into, and they do mention it in the translation, like it got a bit too serious. Because sometimes if they get too serious into whatever it is they're doing, it's actually not entertaining to watch. Because you're not watching them for real doing whatever it is they're doing. It's the interactions and the jokes and such.
That makes
Yeah.
sense.
All right. So, Katie, thank you very much for translating these introductory cards. I mean, I
Ugh.
could only make out their name because obviously my Hangul reading, first of all, is very weak. And even if I could read what it is, not that I would know what is saying.
Well, Google Translate doesn't really know either. But we will do our best to provide our listeners with a little bit of insight into what is going on in this episode. And maybe, if HYBE editors, as they onboard all the VLive content onto Weverse, maybe they'll have another go at cleaning up the translation for this episode.
Maybe.
So, in part one of the episode, we have Jimin acting as our priest behind the confessional screen. And I'm just going to dive in and take you through some of the guys who come up to confess their sins. Is that okay?
Yes, that sounds good.
All right. So first up is V. And okay, yeah, so obviously the card says his name, and then his features are he's pretending to confess, but he's really trying to expose the reality of being roommates. And then the second point is that he should feel free to use his handsome face, but noting that he's got this runny nose that we've discussed already. So V basically is telling a story about being roommates with J-Hope and Jimin, and I didn't know that he was roommates with both J-Hope and Jimin. I thought J-Hope and Jimin were roommates.
I didn't know V was in the same room as Jimin and J-Hope.
Right. So V says he's roommates with J-Hope and Jimin, and he starts talking about a time that J-Hope came out naked after a shower, and V saw
Yeah.
everything. So V changes his confession and says that while his roommate Jimin seems like he's a good, tidy guy on stage, off stage he's really messy. And the sin that V is confessing is that one time he got really angry with Jimin about it. And Jimin forgives him for it, basically, and they hug it out.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
true. I feel like yeah, they Jimin did say he'll get him later.
Yeah.
So, this is the whole like, because obviously Jimin's technically V's young because he's older than him
Yeah.
by a tiny amount of time, but it still matters. So, maybe this was his chance to, yeah, get it
Yeah.
off his chest.
And
But
then
the whole
also
naked
some
story,
fan service.
there is another naked story, isn't it? Like when RM first met Jungkook or something.
Oh yeah, they told that one on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, and like one of them was naked. Was it
When
RM?
RM was in his underwear when Jungkook first moved into the dorm.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Thought that felt familiar, but I couldn't place who and where and when.
And then at the end, there's like clips of V going on and on about J-Hope being naked and like saying he likes being naked and like all this stuff. Yeah, I think that is clever V providing Army with some fan service there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so next up is Jungkook, who we've already discussed is adorably awkward. And Google Translate really struggled with this card. So I think the first thing on his card either said eats a lot or is really good at confession. I don't know. And then it said that he was supposed to be harshly treated by Father Jimin, but I think in the end it's the opposite because I think Jimin was really sweet to Jungkook. So maybe it was meant to be the opposite, that like Jimin was super sweet to him, and I think it's a translation issue. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean he was super sweet and 'cause he gave him a hug.
Yeah, and he kept calling him like sweetie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jungkook's sin is that he used Jin's razor, and also he introduces himself as the Hyung of BTS.
Yeah. I love Jimin Jungkook moments.
Yeah.
Like all of them. They're all good. They're just so cute.
They are really cute. And then finally, on this part, we have J-Hope, who is having mood swings. And his card says, for fun, to be a man with fluctuating moods. So this is how he's livening it up. This is his concept. And the second one is to be so immersed in it that he can be a bit scary.
So
So
random.
random. So J-Hope's is that he's like so deeply attached to Jimin, he can't stop wanting to hit him. And Jimin says since J-Hope's arms committed the sin, he has to do 50 push-ups. Yeah.
Yeah, of which I think he only did about 10, and they
Yeah.
weren't real push-ups.
Yeah. And then J-Hope starts complaining about his friends, and like screen cuts away and says J-Hope complained for a long time. Yeah, and this is one of those
Yeah.
moments where I was like, there's a lot going on and minimal translation, and I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah, but I think J-Hope was like going over the top with the play acting, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe there's more TMI that we weren't supposed to know.
Yeah, and this is the thing that we've talked about in previous episodes where like in today's Run BTS, they're pros at this now. And so this is, I think, part of why episodes are longer because they can talk for longer in a clearer and fine way. So there's not long like sections talking about your roommate being naked that have to be cut out.
Yeah.
Now they're like, they're pros. They got it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
okay,
that is the end of part one. Yeah. And then we switch over in part two. We get this kind of weird transition thing. Do you want to talk us through part two? Or do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, so I think part two is a bit like Jimin converting, like blessing Sugar.
Yeah.
So that he becomes the new priest.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really make any sense because he then starts spraying him with this water through the little separator they had. And Sugar saying he's too honest and truthful and nice to others.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really get it, but I'm going with the flow here. Like, they just wanted to swap over and that's fine. Because yeah. I actually, over all the BTS episodes, I've grown to love having Sugar in a MC kind of role.
Yeah.
Because he's just so hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, we can do this at the end, but comparing part one and part two, you do see the effect of having, not that Jimin is not a good MC, he's adorable, but like Sugar makes a big difference.
Yeah, and like Jimin couldn't help but laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
Whereas like, yeah, when you deliver lines with an air of seriousness in a situation that's hilarious, it makes it more hilarious.
Yeah, I'm just reading what is happening next, and it's making me laugh just reading about it.
Yeah, so according to Google Translate, Sugar's card says, Sugar, Min Yoongi, number one, rational, number two, robes fit well, and number three, there is a tendency to not use priest's language.
So I think they mean that, like, he's good at it. I think that's what they mean by the robes fit well, that he's good at this. Right. But
yeah,
but he does it in kind of like a non-priestly way, which I feel like describes Sugar well.
Yeah.
Actually, interlude, as I was like doing the research for this episode, I was thinking like, what could we talk about in this episode? And then I was like, should we talk about the members' religious beliefs? And so I was kind of digging around, and this is like weird timing because there's been this whole discourse on ARMY Twitter about how we shouldn't care what religion the members are. But then at the same time, some of them have like talked about it quite openly. And so quite a few of the members of BTS went to Catholic school.
Oh.
So they would, you know, hypothetically, if they're not religious, they would still be familiar with maybe the process of confession or like the idea. Yeah. I am not sure Sugar is one of those members who went to Catholic school, with given his tendency, his reaching through the screen. It's like, he's like, hold my hand and I'll forgive you. And like that, I feel like you would know if you had ever been to confession that that's like not a thing.
Yeah. Plus, I thought Sugar wasn't big on school.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
So
I don't. Yeah. I mean, so someone like Jimin, who I think did go to a Christian or Catholic school, like he, maybe the punishments he was assigning or like some of the things like saying to J-Hope, oh, your arms did the sin, therefore like do 50 push-ups. That like the kind of like, oh, you understand the concept of confession. Like you're kind of familiar with this, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Whereas, that's like, true.
Hold my hand through the screen. That's like, nope, that's not it.
Yeah, because in a real confession booth, there is no screen with wide enough holes you could stick your hand through.
No.
Good point. I mean, the other thing is, you know, a lot of other K-pop artists have, some of them, not a lot of them, have been quite open about their religion. But BTS, not so much.
No, I think the only one I'm sure of is Namjoon, because he's talked about being an atheist, like, on multiple occasions.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. 'Cause yeah, I think some of them, like some of other K-pop artists, like in their acceptance speeches sometimes, not all the time, but some of them tend to be like, "Oh, I want to thank God." And but yeah, it's just interesting. Obviously, when they're like accepting speeches, especially as a group, right? Unless your entire group is of the same religion, you're not gonna make any kind of suggestive sayings in that. Like it's always like, "Oh, thank you so much. Please look forward to our future performances. We will." I can do probably an acceptance speech now
We'll
for
continue to work hard.
K-pop. Yeah, it's like, "Thank you so much for the award. We just want to thank all of our fans, insert fan name here,
Blank, we
for all
love
their love
you.
and support. We couldn't have done this without you. We promise we will work harder and we will come back with even greater performances. Thank you for always supporting us and please keep supporting us. We love you. Thank you. We miss you. Bye."
Nailed it. Nailed it.
And that is what they know in English as well. It's interesting seeing artists on like variety shows where they're like asked to speak English or whatever, and it's
Love you.
always these few lines that they know because they say it so much, like, "We miss you, we love you, please, look forward to our performance," and stuff like that. Anyway, back to the episode. Jin has a friend named J-Hope and says he's a horse. And they do that with J-Hope a lot, and I guess that makes sense because his BT21 character eventually is a horse. And then Suga does ask whether he's a centaur, which is very random and doesn't make any sense. But hey ho. And I think this dancing issue is a joke in this episode, but I think it's a real issue. Because Jin's saying like he's dancing next to J-Hope and he's bad at dancing, and it's quite funny because Suga asks Jin to see his dancing through the screen, and Suga, after he does the dancing, Suga asks if he's drunk, which I think was very funny. But this comes back to the fact that like every time any member messes up with dance, they always look at J-Hope or make eye contact with J-Hope because they know J-Hope will have picked up on it. So I feel like this is a legit grievance in a way. That's obviously, hidden in this episode as a joke, but
And it's
really,
Jin is also very sensitive about his dancing, isn't he? So he
yeah.
probably is a little bit upset to be placed next to J-Hope in the lineup because it makes him look worse.
Yeah, exactly. And then this second one I thought was pretty funny. Jin had one more thing to confess, and he said he would like to apply a face pack, which is like the sheet mask, and accidentally dropped it on his friend's face. Suga says this isn't a sin, and it's a 2-for-1 sheet mask.
And I think the friend he dropped it on was Suga.
Yeah, I could see that, and I think it's hilarious. I mean, there's also all these like face pa like mask pack slash sheet mask moments with BTS. There's like that infamous V Live where Suga and J-Hope does face mask, and then on Bon Voyage season 3, I think Jimin falls asleep with a sheet mask on, and V goes and takes it off for him.
Cute.
So many cute sheet mask moments. I mean, when I wear sheet masks, it's not as cute, but it's all right. Okay, so yeah, this is where Suga does his signature saying this isn't a sin, and he holds his hand out. Like, it's not even a hand, it's like a finger
It's so cute.
through the like separator.
Have you seen those compilation videos on Army Twitter where it's like Suga just wants to hold everyone's hands?
No,
It's
but
so
I could
cute.
see it.
He's like
I can see
constantly
it.
reaching for people's hands. It's adorable.
It's very cute. I think he's the he, you know what? I think his love language is touch, even though he pretends he doesn't like it.
He's a cuddler.
He's like, "Don't hug me, but hug me." Like, "Don't touch me, but give me your hand." Yeah.
Very cute.
All right, who's next, Katie?
RM is next. So RM strolls up and is speaking fluent English. So his story card says, number one, speaks English. Number two, Jimena, I'm sorry. So clearly he's going to say something bad about Jimin. So RM starts speaking English and Suga speaks English back adorably. And then RM keeps going and is kind of going faster and faster. And then he's asking Suga if he hates him. And Suga's just like nodding. And he does the thing again where he reaches out his finger through the screen to hold his hand. Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah. It is so cute because they do the whole like typical English language dialogue, yeah. Right? Hi, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah.
Good, I'm fine, thank you.
And then, yeah, and that's the extent of Suga's knowledge. And then RM keeps going. But then I think RM also can't handle how cute Suga is. So he switches to Korean and starts properly confessing. So he basically says he and Jimin both received gifts of the same underwear. And they wrote their names and them to tell them apart. But as you can imagine, the names get washed off during laundry. And then he and Jimin had a fight because Jimin accused RM of wearing his underwear. And RM said he didn't. But RM's confession is that he actually did.
Yep. I mean, it's very adorable.
Yeah.
This is back when fans could actually buy them stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask around the birthday celebrations if this was still in an era where they were accepting fan gifts, which it clearly is.
Yeah, I think probably for birthdays and then probably at fan meets, I feel like. Obviously not so much anymore because they're crazy famous now. And they would get hordes of presents.
Yeah.
But yeah. Back in the day, I feel like the golden era of that, you know, close-knit. I mean, not that ARMY and BTS aren't close-knit anymore, but there's way more people involved. Yeah, the early days. I don't know. I think the fact that he was saying that he writes his name on his underwear is like what I used to do when we all went camping.
So
like
relatable.
When we went to summer camp, right? Like everyone would like, make sure you write your name on all your clothes so it doesn't get mixed up. Very cute.
Very cute. And then our last one is V. V is back to confess to Suga. So this time his notes are, likes RM, so he tries to speak a foreign language but can't. And two, has so many sins, he's also appearing in Suga's episode.
He does star in Japanese.
Is it? Does he?
Yeah. And then he kind of switches to Korean.
Oh, me. So this time, he's talking about a sin, a serious sin he committed against Suga. And this is while he was washing his face, he knocked Suga's toothbrush off the sink into the toilet. And Suga's like, oh, that's why my toothbrush was wet. And Suga, of course, forgives him and tells him to go away and then comments on the runny nose makeup as we discussed before. It's very cute.
It was very funny. I liked that. I think we don't get enough. We do more and more as we'll watch more episodes, but I feel like we don't get enough V Suga content.
Yeah.
It's a good vibe. I like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the good vibe, the star of the show for me was between, not so much between one person, but I think this last V and Suga combo was very cute. So I thought it was very funny.
Golden moment.
That was my golden star moment where V was like trying to be serious and so was Suga, but they both like wanted to crack up, but they didn't.
Love it.
You?
Mine was, I mean, I've already talked about it a little bit, but mine was Suga. I think that, just being able to compare the kind of MC skills between part one and part two made me really appreciate Suga being really good at creating a storyline, at committing to a storyline, and being able to anchor an episode like that. That's a real skill, and I thought he was really good at it. And I thought he was adorable as well, with the holding hands and the cute English. I can't. I love Suga.
Anyway, it was all in all a pretty odd episode.
Yeah.
But it was very short.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling we will not resume these kinds of episodes in the future.
Yeah, I think this was like a format to try, but I don't think this is, in general, their most successful format.
No, and it didn't need to be in two parts either.
That was weird. That was a choice.
Yeah.
I think a unique choice. That was probably like a time thing, wasn't it? Because all their episodes are like no longer than 12 minutes right now.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Anyways, guys, join the Run BTS watch party with us. Next week, we're watching episode 7. So tweet or DM us your thoughts at @PodBangtan, and we might include them in the next podcast. Bye.
Bye.